Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. When Jesus left heaven and was incarnated into a human body, all people could see was a Jewish man with supernatural powers. He was not like the scribes, but spoke with authority. This was natural since Jesus looked like a human, but spoke like God. This is why the God-man was effortlessly able to heal the leper and the servant of the centurion. The power of the spoken word is not to be underestimated, and Jesus provided a vivid illustration to that effect with the fig tree. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to talk today about the leper and the centurion. It's a great message. And so let's do this. Let's just pray first. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and want to praise you right now for helping me to preach this message about the leper and the centurion, for what we can learn about it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the Bibles and turn with me to Matthew. That is Matthew chapter 7, where we'll be working today. And is a fan going, or did someone cut that off? Okay. Matthew chapter 7. So, let me just read from the outline here. The Jewish people were astonished at the way Jesus taught. So let's read the verses, Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. If you go to a Jewish synagogue today, they do read from the Torah. Some of them are Torah synagogues and some are not. Some are Kabbalistics and so on. But they have one thing in common, the rabbis. They quote other rabbis. Rabbi so-and-so said this, and rabbi so-and-so said this. And they tried to come to consensus. Jesus came up and he simply said, this is the way it is. He didn't quote any rabbi because he is God. This is why we as Christians, when we read the New Testament, by the fact, we read the Bible, we can be very dogmatic and simply say, thus says the Lord. This is what God said. That settles it. There's no discussion. So let's turn now to, I want to look at here in John 21, 24 and 25. So keep your fingers here. We're going to come back to Matthew. So we're going to turn to John chapter 21. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 24 and 25. So, the disciples, let me read this here first. The apostles did not write down every miracle performed by Jesus or the names of all the people from which he cast out the demons, since the God-man ministered to tens of thousands of people. And we read here, this is the disciple who testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they will be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, what the apostles did was this. Jesus didn't write anything down himself. And the apostles, I don't know if they took notes or whatever they did, but the Holy Spirit recorded it. And after the day of Pentecost, when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they begin, the church began to develop, the Gospels were written about 20 years after the crucifixion. They were not written right away. And the reason was that the apostles, we know this from church history, that the apostles felt that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. There was no reason to write it down. Everybody that lived at that time had heard about Jesus. So why write it down? Jesus is coming back. The apostle Peter said, you know, I realize now I'm about ready to die. And so I need to write down what I have experienced. Because they realized that Jesus might not come back in their lifetime. So these men, John, Matthew, Luke, Mark, they simply sat down to write. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, and the Holy Spirit gave them information. Remember this, remember that. And that's why we have the words of Jesus, what he spoke. You have four men, you're going to have four different little twangs on it. And that is to mean that they are in opposition to each other. Because if you would take five people describing an accident, a car accident, you will have five different versions. And the reason for that is, you will put down what you think is important. Satiris put down what he thinks is important. Carol puts down what he thinks is important. It's the same story. Most of it corroborates. But then there are certain details that Satiris said, this was important to me. And Carol said, no, this is important to me. So have that as a background as you go back now to the outline here, what I had on page number one. So, Jesus encountered a leper when he came down from the mountain after teaching what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. So this man approached Jesus. We're going to read about in Matthew 8 and verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be you clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Now, the average Joe Blow Christian reads these verses. And he simply says, okay, Jesus comes down from the mountain. Lots of people around him. That's nice. Here comes a leper. And Jesus, matter of fact, most of us don't know what a leper is because we don't have leprosy that much now. So Jesus touches him. He's healed. Well, that's nice. And now the tree has fallen down, like I talked about here before. There's a tree on the road. And we said, there's a tree on the road. Let's move on. Let's stop. If Jesus could heal a leper, Can we heal a leper? Is this a story that simply tells what Jesus did? Or is this a story that simply said what he did because Jesus also said, whatsoever I have done, you will also do? In other words, if Jesus did that, maybe I should also try to do that. So, it is important now. So then Jesus told him, go and show yourself to a priest. I'm not going to read it because it's quite lengthy, but I got the scripture down, Leviticus chapter 14, 1 through 11, and if a guy had leprosy, he got healed. He had to go to the priest, who was the health department, and he had to do this, and then the priest says, okay, stamped, you are healed, you can go home. Because the moment you got leprosy, you had to leave your home. You had to live outside the villages and the cities. And if you didn't obey that, they just executed you. So that's a big thing for a leper, to be healed. And then Jesus said, now, go and see the priest, have him declare you clean, and then you can go home, resume your life. So let's turn now to the second page of the Roman centurion. And we're back now to Matthew 8, 5 through 6. And you got a little map there on the outline that I like it because I like to see how the cities were laid out. It makes the story better for me. So Matthew now, chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. That's what Matthew said. Now, if you flip over to Luke, we find the story a little bit different. So turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. And we pick it up here in verse 1 through 3. I get that we're doing good. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, and he was actually a slave, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. So we get more details here from Luke. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. I'm looking at these two different accounts. And I'm saying, now, why did Matthew record it this way? And why did Luke record it this way? And the only thing I can think of is this, that Matthew was upset with the Romans. It was the Romans that crucified Jesus and tortured him. And so he simply tells the story of the centurion. But he tells it in a different way. So then in verse number 6, it says this. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Whether neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. This Roman centurion recognized he had heard about Jesus. He would not have built the synagogue unless he was very familiar with the Old Testament. And he was probably, just like the centurion in the book of Acts, a secret follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now, he felt as a Roman soldier, he had killed many people. He had been in battles. He felt sinful. And he simply sent word to Jesus and said, you know, I'm not worthy for you to come. And then he said, verse number eight, for I'm also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. If we now leave Luke, and we go back to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew is going to bring out some other details. Matthew 8:10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He's God. And he's been with all these people with very little belief. And then this Roman soldier simply said, hey, you don't have to come to my house. Speak the word. It's done. I have faith in you. I believe. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, nor not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That statement in verse number 12 is true. The majority of the Jewish people and the leaders rejected Jesus. And they did it in the first century. They done it for the last 2,000 years. And the majority of Jewish people today are simply rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. They are waiting for their Messiah. Our Messiah came. They are waiting for their Messiah, the serpent. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now I want you to look at these words. Go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Go your way. As you have believed, so be it unto you. What does that mean for you and me? It simply means this. When you pray, you will get what you believe. Most people say, oh God, I need a healing, I need money, I need a job, I need this. And God said, okay, I'll give it to you. But then you walk away and says, well, I'm not sure. Your prayer is simply destroyed. I want to use this illustration out of my personal life. Around 1989, I developed pain in my stomach area, abdominal area. So I got very ill, and I decided, I went to a doctor, an alternative doctor, and he says, well, he said, we're going to have to x-ray to find out, you know, what you got. So he set me up for x-rays. So I went to get x-rays. I was preaching on the radio at that time, had a lot of people listening to me. And the technician was a Christian. So when I came into his laboratory, he said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be well. How come you are sick? You're always preaching about that, you know, God heals. I said, I do. But for some reason, you know, I got pain. So he went ahead, you know, take all the different x-rays, different places. And then afterward, I said, what did you see? He said, well, I can't tell you because I'm not a doctor. I said, as a friend, what did you say? Well, you got some stuff in your stomach area. So went back to the doctor, and I was told I had lesions. I had something was growing on the side, and it was not doing good. And so the alternative doctor, he's a medical doctor, said, you know, I'm going to have to send it to one of these cutting doctors, you know, they cut. So I was now on the merry-round. So we got an appointment with this specialist. And so we sit down with him. He's a guy from India. I don't hate Indian people, you know, from India, but anyway, that's what he was. And so I looked at the x-rays. He says, well, he said, the next step we're going to do is we're going to drop a camera down through your mouth, and we're going to see exactly what we got in your lining on the stomach. I said, okay. Now, I did not have any insurance, health insurance. I said, hey, doc, how much will that cost you? He said, it's a $5,000 procedure. I said, $5,000. At that time, I woke up. And I realized, I'm going to go to Jesus for healing. I'm not going to go with this doctor stuff. So I said, well, I appreciate you, doctor, but I'm going to go to another doctor I have. He said, what's his name? His name is Jesus. So he looked at scorn up and so forth. We walked out. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We left the hospital. As I'm walking out, Ina was walking behind me. I was walking down. I simply talked to God. I said, God, I'm not feeling good. I know I got a problem. I said, God, I'm going to believe for healing. Either you heal me or I will die. But I'm not going to get any treatment. I'm going to believe that you will heal me. And I told Ina, that's how you're going to do it. That's about 34 years ago. And I have no problems with my digestive system or anything else. Everything works like clockwork. When I walked out from that hospital, I walked down to the car, I realized either I believe or I don't. Either I believe what I preach or I'm a fake. And I said, I believe. And God said, you got it. Let me read that verse again for you, number 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. If you need a job, if you need a healing, If you need a change in your marriage, whatever there is that you need, take it up to the Lord and simply say, God, this is what I would like for you to do. This is what I need. And God will simply say, now, if it is, it is will. Now, if you ask God to give you a gun so you can go down and shoot somebody, he's not going to give you a gun. It's going to have to be in his will. But if you need a healing, you need more finances, you need another job, you need to have your marriage rejuvenate, whatever it is, that's in God's will. He will hear you. He will do what you ask for. Let's look upon a summary on page 2 of my outline. We have examined 2 healings in this message. The leper and the paralyzed man with tremors. Both diseases were incurable, led to early death, and both men were healed by the words of Jesus. Now this brings us to the power of the spoken word. And let turn with me right now to the Mark chapter 11. That's Mark chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, he was afterward hungry. Let me read it again, verse 15. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he could find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs were not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciple heard it. Something was sitting in that tree. Or that tree was talking because Jesus answered the tree. No man eat fruit of you hereafter. And disciple heard it. And then we go down to, in the same chapter, we go down now to verse number 19. This is the next day. And when evening was come, he went out into the city. In the morning, as they passed by, 24 hours later, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called in remembrance unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. You speak either blessing or a curse. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I said to you that whoso shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which are said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. How do you move a mountain? If you look upon a refurbishing, what they call when Jesus refurbished the earth, creation, he spoke. There were angels there. Mountains were topped, going up. Others were going down. There's a lot of moving. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but let me tell you this. When you speak, there are angels, there are holy angels listening to you. And when you speak in the name of Jesus, that goes up to Father. The Father tells the angels, you heard what he said? Yeah. Do it. Holy angels will do it. When we cast out demons, I don't get a demon and wrestle with him wrap him up and cast him out. I speak. In the room where we are, we can feel the power. There are demonic powers in there. We have holy angels in there. Matter of fact, when we're done with deliverance, you are exhausted. Because when you're in the presence of things from the spirit, from people in the spirit world, being from the spirit world, there's a lot of power, and our bodies are not made to take that. So when we do a deliverance, I simply speak, in the name of Jesus, I command this particular demon to go. And I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for your holy angels to hold them off. And holy angels are there. They grab the demons. They grin the body. They rip them out. They chain them up. And they package them out and send them to prison. I've done it thousands of times. I've seen people change. I mean, to get relief. So what I want you to understand now is this. That if you begin to understand now, have faith in God, that whatsoever you say, now I'm not going to be stupid and say I want the Sierras to be cast into the Pacific Ocean. That is about bad, as when the devil said to Jesus, he got him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down and then have God catch you. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So I don't play with this. But when I need it, I speak it. And I expect between the Holy Spirit and holy angels, I expect it to take place. And we've seen lots of miracles. Verse 24. Therefore I send to you what things ever you desire when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In other words, I send to you what things ever you desire when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you're going to have to come to the place I can't see in the spirit world. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe I'm going to get it. You might get it instantly. It might be a couple of days later. It might be a year later. God knows exactly when he wants to answer that prayer. But you will get it answered. Period. For years, I was driving a Chevy truck, 489 Indian. And it was not that strong. And we were driving our trailer. And every time we got to a hill, I prayed, God, help us to get over the hill. And it was chugging along, we got over the hill. So I started to pray. I said, God, I don't have the funds. A new truck back then in the early 2000s was about, well, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. And I didn't have it. I couldn't make the payments. I said, God, please do something. I need help. We want to have something else than this Chevy truck. So I prayed that. I don't know if it took a year, if it took how long it took. But one day, I got a truck. And that truck was powerful. I sail over the hills and the mountains. No problems. And it was given to me. God moved upon someone to give me that truck. So I got it. I can have many incidents. So now, think about this. I'm sitting in my office, and I pray, God, please give me a truck. I don't tell anyone. I tell God. A year passes. Not a year or so. And then eventually, God said, here's your truck. It takes time sometimes. But you got to make up your mind, I believe. Now, Back to Mark 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have any ought against any, that your Father which also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So if you want to have answered prayers, the number one thing you do is this: God, am I hating somebody? Do I have a problem with anyone? Is there some friction here or there and yonder? Because if you have unforgiveness in your soul, you can pray till the moon falls down to the earth. He's not going to answer you. Unforgiveness cuts off all answered prayers. Guaranteed. If you want to have your prayers answered, you got to forgive, release, and have no bitterness in you. That's not easy. Particularly if people have done you harm. Not one time, a couple of times, different people. It's easy to get bitter. And you don't get angry. Resentment. Well, I was nice to that person. How in the world could that person do such a thing? And God says, well, they did. Here's your option. Forgive them. I don't forgive that slob. I want him to go to hell. I want him to burn. I want him to have a cancer. And Jesus simply said, you know, you don't have my nature. That's not my nature. You want to answer prayers? Forgive him. You got no choice. So forgiveness goes for that with faith. So if you look in the outline now, I got here the two obstacles that the Christian must overcome. Number one, not being able to forgive people who have hurt them. Secondly, fear that it won't work. Many Christians are afraid that God will not answer. And they can't declare by faith. Some of you, I wrote my biography. I got many miracles there. And so I'm not preaching what I think the Bible says. I'm preaching what I have experienced the Bible says. I'm going to close with James chapter 5. That's the little book of James, comes after Hebrews and before Peter. James chapter 5, here we go. Verses 17 and 18. Elijah is a man subject to like passion that we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You can pray for rain not to come down. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any one of you err for the truth among convert him, let him know that he which converts sinner from the error's way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. In verse number 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You saw here today when we did the national intercessory prayer. You saw Thomas Burns here, Carol Jacobs, myself, Soteris Crystal. We were four people. Each one of us have learned over the years, you got to forgive. You cannot have bitterness and harbor anything. When you listen to these four people pray, actually three outside of me, they were sincere. They believed what they prayed that would happen. And this is where I want you to come to that place. I'm thinking right now, it just comes to me right now, about Paula in Oregon. Paula, you got a problem with your hand. And there was a man that was in the synagogue with a withered hand. And Jesus simply said, stretch your hand out. And he healed it. Don't look to doctors. Don't look for what a doctor did. Have a little talk with Jesus today and simply said, the doctor butchered my hand. I can't really work it right. I need it back. Stretch it forth and say, in the name of Jesus, my hand is healed. And I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come down and heal you right now. So, in closing on this, Edison, Thomas Edison, they say inventor, actually, he discovered a light bulb. He had 9,999. That was a big pile of glass on this side. And after the 10,000, it worked. And he said, I finally got it. 9,999 twice. So what I learned myself is this. I start praying. I might not get it right away. I do this or that. But I do know this. In due time, I will get my prayer answered. And I want to hope that I can transfer the thoughts to you. Believe. Forgive. Release. And receive all that God has for you. You're watching me, and you're not saved. And you're simply saying this, I really need, I'm not saved, I want to get saved. Every week I stand here and tell you the same thing, because there's always someone watching. We are on many different platforms, and this will go on for several years. We don't know when this will be listened to. But you are out there, and you said, you know, I heard you. Apparently you have some faith. You feel good about Jesus. I want that. How do I get it? It's so simple. Confess that you're a sinner. Then say, I believe that God is. I believe that Jesus is his son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Jesus paid for my sins. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done. And Jesus will. When we finish here with the last prayer, your screen will change where you are. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend. He would take 10 minutes with you. And he will show you, step by step, how to pray that prayer. Do that today. Contact us. Let us rejoice with you. Let us talk to you in person and pray with you. And to you that are saved, regular cyber member, maybe a brand new one watching today for the first time, why don't you do this? Jesus, help my unbelief. Help me to forgive. And help me to pray in Jesus' name. Here's Thomas.
Thank you, Lord, for the good word, the good prayer, the good teaching. And we thank you, Father God, that we can look to you for all things. And Lord, help us to remove all unforgiveness, Lord. I know it was several weeks ago where that was brought heavily to me in my throughout the night, to lose any unforgiveness. So thank you for that, Lord. Being a Christian is not the easy way. It is against our nature, but it is the fruitful way. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work. 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist.
We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 22nd part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Leper and Centurion. When Jesus left heaven and was incarnated into a human body, people could only see a Jewish man with supernatural powers. The scribes quoted various rabbis, but the Son of God repeated the doctrine He delivered to Moses and the prophets. Jesus spoke with natural authority because He was the Creator. He looked like a human, but spoke like God. This is why the God-man was effortlessly able to heal the leper. It was the power of the spoken word. The same occurrence took place with the servant of the centurion. Jesus never met the man, but spoke a word of healing, and the slave was supernaturally healed that instant. The power of the spoken word is not to be underestimated, and Jesus provided a vivid illustration to that effect with the fig tree. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, and our Savior is still in the healing business when you speak the word. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1917. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.